If you have your Bibles, we're in Romans today. I have to say, I feel really blessed. You know, I've got two kids. Today's Father's Day. It makes me think I've gotten to taste just the tiniest little bit of what God feels towards me, because I would do anything for my kids. And I think that's my dad in heaven. He would do anything for us. He's done it all. Happy Father's Day, dads. Romans, you know, we've been in Romans. It's the most amazing book, really. It lays out so clearly. I'm not ashamed of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very power of God working on us to save us, the very goodness of God just by trusting Jesus. And we've been through all as he lays out what's called the classic sort of the book on Christian theology. And we've been through it all, even as Paul turns to Israel, because some of what Paul's saying doesn't seem to make sense in light of the Old Testament. If you really listen to what we read today, we got to go through it again a little bit, because it starts to go like, well, am I getting this right? I was thinking of it this way. You know, my water heater went out this week. It's a bummer. No hot water, you know. And it's been there since we bought the house we're in now 4 years ago or so. And so we're in this house. And I did notice there were these little stickers on the water heater, because every year the people that had the house had gotten it serviced, you know. But they were pretty stickers. And I didn't do any of that. Who needs to do service on water heaters? Come on. So I just let it be. And then like a month and a half ago, our water turned a little brown. And I was like, you know, bad water day. And the water heater kept working. And so finally, the water heater flat out broke. The tank broke. There's water all over, blah, 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 right? And it made me think, that's how I kind of think about my relationship with God. What do you mean? Well, you know, he gives me hot water. He gives me all this great stuff. But I got to do my maintenance. I got to like keep up my maintenance. If you don't keep up the maintenance, if you don't put in your part of the relationship, then things are going to go south, you know. A little bit, I read the Old Testament. At some point, if you would just do the things that I've told you to do, it's going to go so well for you. Doesn't that sound like the words of God from the Old Testament? So isn't it okay that I sort of think of the life that I live as a Christian, and I start slipping in, and I start these metaphors, these images, these ways that we think, and I start taking them over into my Christianity. So it's very important from the Word of God, and I hope you see it with me today, to shut down that kind of thinking about your relationship with the Lord, with your dad. And you say, well, you got to prove that to me, Dax, because that sounds very reasonable. In fact, a lot of people, that's what they talk about. And now we've gone into these things I'm going to do so that God stays okay and that we stay okay. There's my part, there's God's part. What do we do? And so I believe today we're going to see this idea that you do know the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. That means God is the merchant. And he finds this pearl of amazing price. And he's talking about you. And he sells everything he has. He's talking about the death of his son to get you. The message that we have is the most amazing news you've ever known, which is God's son died for you. That's because he adores you.
Well, but I didn't do my maintenance.
No. He's not trying to get you to do maintenance. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to respond, because you are. But as we start to think about how we think about our relationship, because I get that Jesus died. I get that he paid it all. I get that he rose from the dead. I agree to all of that. But oftentimes, I get stuck. I think about life is about something more. So sort of me getting to God while he blesses me. We have this little contract. And you know what? There was a contract. It's called the Old Testament law. It was a contract. And so we talked about this last week, mercy towards something, or are we just drenched in mercy? And the idea is we're drenched. This is the big error of Israel. They were getting to God, and God was blessing them so they could climb to God up the ladder of the lawn with his help. Even some of us would say, oh, let's just stick Jesus in there, and we'll make Jesus the ability by which we keep the law. And all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. There are things happening that don't make sense in the Bible if you try and do that. So that's why I'm calling this no excuses, because there's some excuses we make in both camps and all over and all these things. And I want to put them to rest. And I want you to get the wonder of God for you. But we ended this verse, right? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, you can just reject this out of hand if you want to. Many people do. Like somehow, no, Christ isn't the end. Christ is the enablement to do the law. But that's not what it says. He's the completion of the law. You can try and say, yeah, that means there's no more law to do, right? He's the end. The law finds its end, its completion. It's okay, I'm done in Jesus. Not for everyone, because lots of people reject this, but for everyone who what? Trusts in Jesus. I believe this is the best news ever. What I want to do today is open your eyes to how Paul puts to death sort of my water heater mentality. I want you to feel the depth of what he's saying here, how it's going to flavor your whole life in Christ. So I'm hoping you will stand with me unashamed in the light of the sun and not scurry around hoping that you're doing enough to maintain your status with God. Like that's up to you. Okay, that's no excuses. And to do that, you've got to see what Paul is really going after. Many people in the passage we're going to look at today, they don't understand it. They just skip right over it. You're going to walk out today knowing this passage, I hope. It starts with the law of God, the beautiful law of God. No excuses. There's no excuses for anyone to not do the commandments of God. Say, well, I kind of know that. I'm not sure you do. Let's take a look. This is where he goes. So Moses, he says here in verse 5 of chapter 10, and that's where we are. We're going through this passage. So Moses writes about the righteousness that's based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. Okay, this is amazing. He's just saying, okay, Christ is the end of the law. But realize the way that we're saying this, what I mean, says Paul, is that Moses has said that if you go after righteousness by keeping the rules of God, then that's how you live. Right? That's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a God-given way to live. And so Paul looks at Israel, and who he brazenly says has not obtained the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, which is only in Christ. And he says, let's think about the law. If you do the commandments, you live by them. If you take on the task of accomplishing the commandments of God, then you live by those commandments without excuse. We will look at you and say, did you do them? Now, as a Christian, you know. I mean, it's almost like Pavlov, well, I know I don't keep the law. But we return all the time to try and say, that's where I'm going to try and show that I really do love God, you know. And Paul says, no, if you're going to go under there and do those, then that's where God's going to judge, is how did you do? Whether you're Jewish and have the Ten Commandments, a so-called Christian who reads their Bible, a Buddhist in Southeast Asia, what's the rules that you think the God of the universe has for you? That's where you're aimed. Okay. Now, by the way, we always add something. What do we add? We add an excuse. Got to. I will do the law of God. I hope you will too, I would say to you. But you do have to know what it is. Does that make sense to you? Like, that's kind of a little bit of an excuse. I can just say, do the law of God. But if it's hidden and no one knows it, then I can't do it. So what I need is someone to come and teach me the law. That's the idea. The idea is I don't have a teacher. And that's actually what Paul starts shooting down in verse 5 right here. Moses said, if that's your system, you're accountable for that. That's your life. That's where your evaluation is. Do you do it? And Paul's thinking of a particular passage in the Old Testament. We read it. But I'm going to put it on the screen again so you know this is what he's thinking of. Paul's thinking of this. This is what he's thinking about. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We read it this morning. We'll go through it quickly, but this is critical for you to get. So here's Deuteronomy chapter 30. Think about what he's saying. Moses is speaking. Moses is speaking to the gathered people. And he says, for this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Excuse number one, gone. It's not too hard. And neither is it far off, i.e., you know it. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? You know, it's not about you going, who's going to go get what God really wants us to do? We don't know. Oh no, says Moses, you know. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? You see, I would do everything God says. I just don't really know exactly what it is if I would just have someone tell me. I'll tell you, this infects you today. I would do everything God says. I just don't have a teacher. Moses says, no, that's not the deal. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. You get that? He's standing there with the law, and he gives them the law, and he says, the issue isn't what's the law of God. You don't have someone that needs to go get it. You don't have someone go find it. You don't need a bunch of instructions on it. You don't need a teacher. The issue will always be not is it near, but do you do it? Do it, do it, do it. That's what I want to see, says Moses. That's the key. There's no excuses if I don't know, and it doesn't require a special trip overseas to go grab it. God has written it down for you, says Moses. He brought it to you, and that means you, if you are a law follower, are judged on how you do. Full stop. This is what Paul's referring to, right? That's the passage in Deuteronomy that Paul is thinking about because Moses said, having told you that, then here's the deal. I have set before you today life and good. Oh, and death and evil. What's the differentiation? Whether you do the law, right? If you obey the commandments of Yahweh, your God, that I command you today, by loving Yahweh, your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and Yahweh, your God, will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Oh, I've got you, says God. Just do my rules. Sounds like a ton of Christianity I hear. I don't know about you. That's mostly what I hear. You know, maybe Jesus will be my enabling force to do this because this is how blessing happens. You do the law of God and God will help you to accomplish it because this is the will of God for you to and be. And all of a sudden, I'm back in Deuteronomy. Do what he says and you'll be blessed. Of course, just real fast, the flip side is also true, right? It says, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over to the Jordan to enter and to possess. It will not go well, right? I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life that you and your offspring may live. Oh, don't say you don't know. Say, I obey. In that sense, it makes sense, right? I hope. And all that have been said in Romans already, we've already been through it. That Romans, Paul lays out that they didn't obey God's law. Nobody does. Right? They are rightly condemned. Anyone who says, I'm a good person, I try and do what's right, God will take that into account. Oh, yes, he will. That's the avenue you're going to go down. So Paul goes, I'll walk with you and we'll go to God and he'll judge how you've done. It will not be pretty. That's the idea, right? Because you and I aren't ignorant. It's not a question of we just didn't know. There's nothing, there's no wiggle room for I just wasn't taught. There's none of that. So you're with me so far, right? And this is kind of like, oh, this is Old Testament law. This is what it was. So where does Jesus fit in? And again, my temptation, if you're following with me, my temptation is to say what Jesus does is he comes and he helps me to be strong, to keep the law so that I fit in this passage. Like that's what I think that it should be, right? Because the commandment was to love the Yahweh, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and statutes. That sounds awesome. He energizes my heart to go do it. And you think of it, that's what it was. If you just listen to a bunch of churches today, why do they say that? I'll say one thing. They're ignoring this. Because Paul shuts that down. Come back to Romans 10 with me for a minute. Here's verse 5. For Roman writes about the righteousness based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. If what you're doing is getting empowered to go do the law, then that's where you are. God will judge you by how you do the law. How are you doing? And I'll tell you, for me, where I am, I have no righteousness based on the law. That was verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, right? That's this idea. The whole path is a total dead end because living by them means you're judged. And instead, we have righteousness and goodness not based on the law. And you know what? There's no excuses for this either. No excuses. There's a gospel addition to no excuses. Track with me. Verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith, this is a different righteousness. The righteousness based on faith, not the righteousness based on law. It says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Do you guys catch what he's doing? Like if you just go back to what we just read in Deuteronomy, and Paul writes to them, do not say to yourself, who will ascend into heaven to go bring what down? The law. Who will go over the sea to bring what back? The law. What did Paul do? He just cut out the law. He said, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Jesus Christ down. Who will go down into the depths of hell? That is to bring Jesus Christ up. What is he saying? What does that mean? That's kind of weird. What's going on? Here's what's going on. Oh, you need to get this. He's talking about how we work, right? The righteousness based on trust, on faith. We put Jesus where the law was and we say, it is finished. I don't say, oh, I got to go get to Jesus. No, he came down. I didn't bring him down. I don't have to bring him down. He came. I get Jesus, so I got to go get him up from the dead. No, he rose from the dead. What are those actions? They're actions that depend how much on you? Zippo. That means zero. It doesn't depend on you, right? You had nothing to do with Jesus coming down from heaven. You had nothing to do with Jesus rising from the dead. It's not based on you. This is the righteousness, the goodness that's based on faith. What is it based on? All the doing that I've done? Zero. Zero. But I got to do something. Yet that's your problem, right? I'm thinking, oh, my water heater broke. It must be that I did something wrong. You know, my relationship with God. On the one hand, I'm like, why in the world am I treating God like a water heater? Like somehow my maintaining God is going to, he's the cosmic, like, I don't know, slot machine in the sky. I got to make sure I feed it and then it'll feed me back. That's so wrong. I think it sometimes. But you see, Jesus did it all and it worked. God's plan has happened. God became a human in a Savior. He descended down from heaven for you. And then God went down into the abyss and Jesus rose from the dead for you. This is incredible, deep stuff. It's the smaller to the greater. It wasn't God saying, hey, here's my rules, do them. It's God doing it. All of it. God himself in Jesus Christ doing for you and me what we never did. You just do what? I trust it. I receive it. You know, I thought the image isn't about the water heater. It's more about when I went to go help the guy. I was hanging out with the guy that was fixing my water heater. It was more than I could do. But I'll tell you what, I just walked out of my garage and the sun was out. And I looked up at the sun. And it was a glorious bright day and the sun is shining on me and it's hitting me. And I go, oh man, I kind of like the sun today, even though I do love the rain. And I was like, that's more it, right? The sun is risen. The sun is out, you guys. His name is Jesus. That's this idea. What does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. He's not talking about the commandment of God. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. We've got something to say. Jesus Christ did it all. You're forgiven and you're free. But just by trusting him. It's not far away. You don't need a bunch of instruction. You don't need a lot of teachers. You can be a little kid, right? In fact, be a little kid to come to Christ. You got it. That's what it is. Because, this is the end of the Romans road. You probably know this one already. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? The context of this is that the law does not help you. It just pointed to the one who did it all. And you say, whoa, Dax, I get all that, but wait a minute. You're kind of skipping over repentance. Don't you have to receive Jesus as Lord? You see that, right? As Lord. Yes, you do. You know why you have to receive him as Lord? Because he is. He's everything. He's the King of Kings. He's done it all for you. That's just the truth. Repentance is turning from righteousness based on the law, from thinking, oh, I'm checking in on my maintenance to make sure I'm doing it right because that's what God's judging. And I'm turning away from that and saying my hope is in what God has done in Jesus Christ forever for me. I'm the pearl. So are you if you trust Jesus. That's the repentance, right? That's the turning. It's the changing of my mind that my works and my way and my deeds, me being a good person and showing everyone that I am a good person, I'm turning from that and I'm turning to Jesus. And it's scary because you know what? All of my reputation, all of the ways you guys think well of me, all of the things that I do are based on me and the things I'm doing. And all of a sudden saying, no, I'm nothing. It's about Jesus. Most of the time, I kind of take a half step there and I'll say it and then I come back. And Paul says, don't. He paid for you. Jesus did. He loves you. He died for you. He treasures you. He's your purity and goodness and life. And you see how none of that is the law is near you, like you return to your vomit. What is near is what? The word of faith. Trust this, it works, because God does it, not you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that's a walk in the sun kind of thing. He's the sun. I receive this righteousness, this gift, sunshine on my face, undeserved but treasured by the King. That's what I receive. You too. I have faith that God the Father raise Jesus Christ, the Son, from the dead. It's going to do it to us too. It's marvelous. Okay. Death didn't hold Jesus. You know, it's over. Everything I ever need has already been done. The finish line is back there somewhere. I didn't bring him down. I didn't raise him up. And neither did you. We simply receive the truth of what's happened. And this is how he says it. He says, because with the heart one believes and is justified. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. What does he mean? Well, go through it. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's just to make sure you're not like questioning. That this is like a redounding. Let's just make sure we hammer it into your head. If you can feel the sun, if you have the truth in front of you, that God in Christ adores you, that you're the pearl he died for, that he spent everything he had to rescue you, and every single person ever who simply calls upon the name of the Lord, that's the call of Luke 18, right? Have mercy on me. That's not obedience to the law. That's forsaking obedience to law as goodness before God. To repent is to run away from righteousness under the law. That's what you're doing. To believe in this amazing God who adores you and has given everything for you. And that's what you stand on. And from there, you can do whatever you want. You're not going to want to go into sin when your amazing Savior's done it all for you. I get it. But even if you do, your goodness is so secure. This is incredible. And the main thing he's after, right? There's no distinction. It's not like, oh, well, you got to be part of God's special people. Oh, well, you got to be a Jew. You got to be part of Israel. No, there's actually anyone. It's a John 3:16 thing, right? For God so loved the world that whosoever. We don't proclaim the get better news. The get back to the law and start climbing news. We point to the sunshine that's near. Jesus Christ who died and rose. And so there's this beauty in our lives that that's what we point to. The sun's beautiful. Our Savior's amazing. He adores you, you know. Would you trust him? And you'll see people respond to that. There's a beauty in the midst of this that I want you to make sure you see. And then the beauty is that this is our life. And I'm sitting here standing with you on the life that we have. And this is what Paul is pushing us into with all that he has. This niggle comes in, you know. I've got this beautiful message. But, you know, isn't that itself a responsibility? Isn't that a new law that we need to do? And it comes along with something like this. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How is someone going to call on Jesus if they don't trust Jesus? Good question. They aren't. How are they going to believe in him of whom they never heard? They're not. How are they going to hear without someone preaching? Probably not going to happen. That's Paul's thing, is rhetorical questions, right? How are they to preach unless they are sent? We got to get some people out there to preach. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. That's a beautiful thing. Okay, as I just gave you that passage, your mind goes where mine goes too. Goes, oh, wait, there is something I got to get and make sure I go do. I got to get some preachers out there. It is beautiful. We all proclaim Christ everywhere we go, you know. If what you do is trust Jesus, then your life and the choices that you make and the things that you do, the way that you don't get put off by sin, the way that you embrace somebody who is a sinner and isn't following the law, the way that you like are able to give grace in amazing situations and yet still stand up and say, that's wrong because sin is evil, but it's been forgiven. You'll be different. What Paul is actually saying here is something even more amazing. Which is, it's not really about you and the proclamation that you do. Well, I need to hear that because I'm tempted to take everything Jesus has said and make it back into mini law. That's what I do. See, because this is what he says. He doesn't say, oh yeah, poor Israel, they haven't heard. No, there's no excuse, is the whole theme of the passage for anybody. But for Israel, they have not all obeyed the gospel. They haven't done it. Is it because no one's talking to them? Is the reason why the person on the street downtown doesn't know Jesus because you have missed the boat and therefore they're not saved? There's some people who think that. Maybe you feel some weight about, man, I missed my opportunity to share with my uncle and therefore he's done. When I get to heaven, God will say, why didn't you share me? You see what that is, right? That's like a law of light. Your guilt. Why do I know it's not right? Because of this. Look, when he says they haven't all obeyed the gospel, I'm expecting to say it's because you're not out there preaching the word. Instead, look what he says. Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he's heard from us? That's a statement that says they heard, but they didn't believe. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing through the word of Christ. So this is the direction, and we go there, right? But the really amazing thing, he says, but I ask, have they not heard? That's the question, right? Like, if what this is a message, if what God has chosen to do is to proclaim it through his word, that the message is Christ, that you have the Old Testament way that was amazing, and the covenant, and the beauty of the law, and all of it, but it simply crushes us, and then we turn to Christ, by whom God has done it all, and we say, oh, you need to hear that. Yes. So have they not heard? And Paul says, indeed, they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. He's talking about the message is not hidden. It is the Son. And he keeps going. But I ask, did Israel not understand? Poor Israel. They didn't understand these things. Well, first Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I'll make you angry. He's saying, no, they have no excuse. Even in their own text, it says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to the Gentiles to make you jealous. They still won't see Jesus. And Isaiah is so bold as to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me. I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. That's, what is he talking about? Paul's talking about you. Right? He's talking about me. It's absolutely incredible. I've been found by those who didn't seek me. Wait, stop. You didn't seek Christ. I've shown myself to those who didn't ask for me. Stop. You and me, we didn't ask for Christ. I'll tell you what, this goes against everything I think. As I go, Jesus says I stand at the door and knock. And come on, come and knock and let me in. And let me in because I want to come in, but I'm not going to overcome. I'm not going to do anything that might hurt you. No. The whole idea is this is such great news. And it's shining. It is shining out there. And God says what he's going to do, and then what does he do? He does it. Because of Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. What's the flavor of this? The flavor of this is it's not about people haven't heard. It's about people won't believe. There's any trouble that we have, it's that the message sounds too good to me. It sounds too simple. It sounds like something my five-year-old, when she was back in the day, would have come up with. I'll just trust Jesus. And the God of heaven who made us, who made everything that is, who calls the stars by name, we sang that this morning, who does these amazing works, he made the whole enchilada. Whole banana too, where some people didn't like banana last week. He made everything. And he says, this is my way. Trust me. I've got you. And if you don't, it is on you. Because God's holding out his hand. At the same time, he's doing exactly what he said. That tension remains. But it doesn't take away from the message you get to have, which is what? I stand on Jesus. This is absolutely the most important radical thought for your entire life, that God in Christ has done it all, that you're sitting here, if you're sitting here today with me, and you know this, you hear the word that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he came down to earth for you, that he died, that he rose from the dead. And if you receive that, if you trust that he's done it for you and it worked, you're saved. That's not like, oh, Dax's spin on Romans. That's quoting it. By promise, you get new life, a new heart, new future. Everything's new. You're a treasured pearl that he's died for. He's given everything for. That's who you are. So life is simply about trusting this message. And it cuts so directly against law keeping because that's how you think you please God. But you please him by trusting him. That's how you think you serve God. No, you're serving yourself and your neighbor. That's totally great. Do it. Just don't connect it to your salvation, to the wonder of God for you. By the way, you don't serve. You're served. And not with court papers. By Jesus who comes to you, who washes your feet, who's blood for you, who gave his body for you. He comes, and the Bible says it, right? The servants are waiting for him, and he finally arrives, and he comes, and he changes his clothes, and he serves them. That's our Savior. The light that we walk in is that he's done it, and it worked. So the light of our earthly light, our life, falls apart, you guys. We look at our lives, and they're falling apart. Why? Because it was never about me and my life getting stronger and my works getting bigger and the kingdom being grown by me and me being activated so I can make sure God's kingdom gets... What in the world are you talking about? We come back here and we say, I'm not desperately trying to clothe myself in righteous behavior. I'm trusting that I'm wearing the robes of Christ, the ring that he gives the prodigal, the shoes that he puts on his feet, because my dad loves me. He's the best father you'll ever know, and he's ours by trusting Jesus. Guys, we're saved. We didn't seek, we didn't ask. We found Jesus because he found us. He came and got us. Thanks be to God, because I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it for a second, but we are. And if you're here too, oh, do we not go back to polishing our goodness as somehow are my great witness? Because my great witness to the truth is the witness of the trust in what Jesus Christ has already done. He's for you today, and he's got you every day until he receives you into heaven. That's my God. He's that powerful. And he promises.